In Genesis chapter 37, beginning with the fifth verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this. Once Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field, and suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. Then your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dreams and his words. And then we go to the end of the story in Genesis, the 50th chapter, beginning with verse 15. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crimes of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. When his brothers also wept and fell down before him and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intend to do me harm, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. In studying how to study the Bible, the people on Wednesday night were asked the question, which person in the Old Testament has the most written about them? And, you know, you sort of figure it might be Abraham because he was the founder of the Israelites. You think it might be Jacob. There's an awful lot written about Jacob. But truth be told, the person that is most written about in the Old Testament is Joseph. The story of Joseph has the most detail. It has the most written. Doesn't mean it's the most important, but there obviously was so much in the life of this individual that God intended for us to know. And all started with a brat. Because let's face it, Joseph is 17 years old. He's daddy's favorite. We know that. Why? Because the Bible says his father loved him more than any of his brothers. The Bible doesn't hold back. He was pampered. You notice that every time something is mentioned about him when he's young, he's at home and the brothers are out working. He's a smart kid, but he's not a wise kid. How do we know that? Because they already hate his guts and he says, "Had this dream." He tattled on his brothers when they didn't do what was right. Now, what happens with siblings is fairly normal, okay? You have the tattletale. You have the one that always runs the mom and daddy. You have a certain amount of rivalry. But Joseph was arrogant. And twice in the small amount that we read, it said his brothers hated him. They weren't just annoyed by him. They didn't just think he was a pampered little brat. They did not just want to stay away from him. They hated him. And when they caught him alone out in the field, what do? Tossed him in a pit to die. They tossed him in a pit to die. That's hate. When you want somebody dead, that's hate. And they weren't going to just kill him outright. He was going to die of thirst and starvation alone in a hole. That's hate. And then they had a better idea because there was a caravan going by. And so they pull him up out of the pit and they sold their brother. I found this painting. I thought it showed so much because what you have is the brothers paying absolutely no attention to this boy that's being drug away pleading. They're counting the money. They're looking around. They pay no attention to him whatsoever. You know, Joseph didn't just say, yeah, okay, no problem. He pleaded. I'm sure he pleaded for his life when they threw him in the pit, and he pleaded not to be sold into slavery. And their hearts were so hard, and they hated him so much that they didn't even flinch. Joseph said, behold, I have a dream. I'm going to be powerful. I'm going to be a ruler, and you're going to kneel to me. And they said, uh-uh. Let's see what becomes of his dreams. What they didn't know was what they were doing actually helped fulfill the dream. Because when God gives a vision, it's going to happen. And there's nothing you can do. And sometimes people do the most unspeakable things to somebody that they're supposed to love. And yet God's plan cannot be subverted. So you have a 17-year-old kid. It's always been pampered, always been number one. Carted off to slavery in Egypt. And he ends up 10 years the slave of a guy named Potiphar. He was a captain in the Egyptian army, and he had land and he had wealth. And here is little 17-year-old Joseph. Like I said, he was smart. And he didn't do what you or I might have done. He didn't sit around and pout and bemoan and say, well, this shouldn't have happened to me. God promised me a palace. Why am I a slave? He didn't do that. He figured this was his lot and he worked. And he worked hard. And he gained the trust of his employer. And he became number two. There was Potiphar, and he was the head of the whole household. But then Potiphar had this wife. She was, let me think of the right word to say in church. She was a pill. And she lusted after Joseph. And he said, I cannot sin against my master and against God. You know, we can't do this. And she wouldn't take no for an answer. And she kept trying day after day. And one day she got a hold of his coat and was trying to drag him into her. And he just let the coat fall off and he ran away. and she accused him of attempted rape. Potiphar believed his wife and sent Joseph to prison. Okay, if you thought 10 years as a slave was bad, 3 years in prison is worse. I thought I was supposed to be in a palace. I worked hard to raise myself up and move up, Lord. What is going on? Haven't you ever felt that way? How many times have I heard the words, I have done all I thought you asked me to do, God. Why is this happening to me? Now, I know I'm not the only one in this room that's ever said those words. I've said it. Have you said it? Okay, some of you at least will admit it. Yeah, we've said it. Because all of a sudden, it's just like, this shouldn't have happened. I don't deserve this. Now, occasionally there's stuff that happens that we deserve, but didn't deserve this. Why did this happen? But Joseph, once again, didn't carry on and blame God. He once again worked hard. And it wasn't all that long before he was in charge of the jail. Number two to the jailer. And then we know the story of what happens. He meets the cupbearer and the baker of Pharaoh. He interprets their for them, and the cupbearer, who was the one that survived Pharaoh's wrath, said he would remember to tell Pharaoh about Joseph, but he forgot, and Joseph was in prison 2 more years. But then Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream that he could not interpret. His wise men couldn't interpret. His ears couldn't interpret. Cupbearer says, wait a minute. I remember this guy back in prison. And he interpreted my dream, the baker's dream, and what he interpreted was true. Pharaoh called Joseph. Joseph says, I can't interpret your dream. But God can. So tell me the dream. And he interprets the dream. And after 13 years of things not being so great, in one day, Joseph goes from nothing, as nothing as you can get, to being number two in Egypt. Only Pharaoh was higher. God used the time to teach some of the most important lessons to Joseph. When Joseph was 30, he came to this position being second only to the king in Egypt. He was skilled, he was smart, and he was wise. And he was humble. He was no longer that arrogant 17-year-old that knew it all. Now, I know that no 17-year-olds know it all now. But back then, 17-year-olds thought they knew it all. But hopefully by the time you're 30, you realize how much you don't know. And you're matured. God showed him over and over and over that this kid that thought he was number one needed to always place himself number two. He always needed to be number two. He taught him he's number two to Potiphar. He was number two to the jailer. He was number two to the Pharaoh of Egypt. But most importantly, he was number two to God. When he got that vision, he thought that was for his glory. But he learned that wasn't the case. It wasn't about him. You know, there's so many times that we think that it's all about us. You ever thought it was about you? I got husband and wives doing this and some making no eye contact whatsoever. I ain't looking. Yeah, we all get that way. It's that way whenever we think that our opinion is just so important. What we want must be right because we want it. We want to be the number one thing in our own story, don't we? I mean, isn't that just pretty much normal? That's what we've got to fight against. Because we always want to be number one in our own story. We want to be the one that gets to make the decision. We want to be in charge. Even if we're the responsibility to be in charge of something, we want to tell other people how to do it. I don't want to work, and I don't want to be in charge of it, but let me tell you what ought to be done. It happens. One of the best little, I wish I could find this sign. I'd hang it up in my office here at the church. It says, every person I know wants to serve God. It's just most of them want to do it in an advisory capacity. But Joseph, in 13 years, grew up. He became a servant leader. When his brothers came before him during the time of famine, he tested them. But he brought them to Egypt. He set them up in the land of Goshen. He brought every member of his family and made sure in the 5 years of famine that were to come that they had enough to eat. And they flourished. They flourished. And Joseph's father, Jacob, got to spend 17 more years with his son before he passed away. But when he passed away, the brother said, you know, while Daddy was here, it was all right, but what if Joseph is still a little miffed? And they came before him with a tale. They lied. Daddy didn't say this, but they figured if it was coming from Daddy, it would sound better. So they said, you know, our father wants you to forgive us. Before he died, you know, his parting words. Forgive your brothers. For trying to kill you. Forgive your brothers for selling you into slavery. Forgive your brothers for giving you 13 years as a slave. As a prisoner. Some of y'all can't forgive somebody if they just say something to you. They hurt my feelings. Aww. You know, when somebody says that, I'm sorry, but you know me. I might as well be honest. You know me. It's not that I don't care that you got hurt. But when somebody says, they hurt my feelings, they said that, and it hurt my feelings. I just want to go, you know, well, that's, I'm sorry that happened. Get over it. Get over it. People hurt people. Sometimes the people that love you and are supposed to be nice to you aren't. And you know, sometimes even church people aren't nice. I know that's a shock. I know that never happens here. This is going out on the internet, so nothing like that happens here. Yeah, it does. And this is the most loving church I've ever served, I guess. But we hurt each other. Sometimes unintentionally and sometimes intentionally. We get hurt and we lash back. And they were afraid that Joseph was going to get even with them. But Joseph did something amazing. This has just been a really long introduction. Now we're getting to the sermon. The sermon is, you meant to do me harm, but God intended it for good. God intended it for good. Say that. God intended it for good. It's not that it was okay that all these things happened. A lot happened in Joseph's life that, you know, wouldn't have been God's perfect will. But I think that God had a plan, and a little arrogant Joseph couldn't have pulled that one off. I think God had a plan, and little number one Joseph couldn't have done it. I think God had a plan that little tattletale, pampered Joseph couldn't have done. See, God had a plan bigger than Joseph's plan, which was to be ruler. He had a plan that you would rule so you can serve. Rule so you can serve. To save many people alive. Joseph was 56 years old when his father died. In the time between the time he was sold and the time that his brothers came and knelt in front of him, just like the dream, Joseph wasn't the same guy. He was a type of Christ. You know what I mean when I say type? Of Christ. Okay, feedback time. This means no and this means yes. Do you know what I mean when I say type of Christ? He was a foreshadowing of what Jesus was. A servant king. A servant leader. One who forgives all the rotten stuff that we've done. And gives us a gentle, loving person to care for us. Joseph cared for his brothers. And he understood that sometimes suffering has a purpose in God's will. Now, do not hear something that I am not saying. I'm not saying that every bad thing that happens to you is God's will. That's not true. And we know it's not true. It is not God's will that bad things happen to little kids. It is not God's will that we have the problem with drugs that we have. It is not God's will that little kids get molested. It's not God's will that guy that I read about in the paper that broke the bones of an infant. Yeah, I was mad about that one. It's when stuff like that happens, I realize I am not entirely sanctified. because I was so angry when I read that. Wasn't God's will. But God can take everything and turn it to good. Because it's not what happens to us, it's how we deal with it. Are we going to do like Joseph and turn closer to God? And go from me, 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 I to Lord, Lord, Lord? Or are we just going to get mad? How dare you, God, allow me to suffer? Because even the suffering, God can bring good. Joseph thought that crown was for his own glory. And when he learned it was for God's glory, he became all he could be. He was 110 years old when he died. 110. He got to see his great, great grandchildren. He got to be a part of a plan to build a nation. Not by being number one, folks, but by always being number two. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.